What's up, everybody? We're back with the Gridiron Podcast. My name is Nick.
My name is Michael.
And yeah, we're back. We're going to be talking about the wide receiver market, obviously some of the big signings of this past offseason, and still some wide receivers holding out on contracts. So I guess we could start with the person that kind of started it all with Michael Pittman for the Colts. And
yeah, so Michael Pittman signed a 3-year, I think $70 million contract in early March, which I was kind of interested in this one because honestly, as a fantasy football guy, Michael Pittman was a guy that I wanted as a receiver. He's putting up numbers. And so when he was a free agent, I was actually interested if they would keep him or if they would re-sign him and like what kind of deal is he really worth. So right. Seeing him at a lower end, obviously we'll get into like the later details, but at 23 M's over 3 years, I mean, I think that's a pretty good contract for the Colts and Michael Pittman, considering his age right now, but I think he is in his prime. And yeah, so I think 23 M's is a pretty good number for Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I can agree. I think especially he is kind of in like the mid-tier section of wide receivers in the NFL. He's not one of the better ones. He's not one of the worst ones, but he is pretty consistent when it comes down to numbers. So I do think with the Colts re-signing him for that amount, it shows that they have faith in Michael Pittman. And the Colts are one of those teams that aren't normally giving out bigger contracts. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree there actually, but Michael Pittman was that guy to kind of set the tone, I guess, for the wide receiver market. I mean, I thought 23 M's wasn't crazy high, but I didn't think it was like too low. I thought it was like, as you said, he's consistent and he's worth the contract. Yeah. However, for these other guys, such as, you know, the Justin Jeffersons, the CeeDee Lambs, where would this put them now? So going into the next couple guys who signed was the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they threw some cash at their receivers. Devonta Smith and AJ Brown both re-signing with big contracts.
Yeah, so we'll start with AJ Brown. AJ Brown signed a 3-year, $96 million deal. I think it's justified.
yeah, dude.
This guy has been one of the top receivers over the past couple of years. On a kind of up and down Philadelphia team. They started off really hot last year, kind of died down a little bit towards the end of the season. But I think AJ Brown is, he's one of those top guys.
Absolutely. And
after Michael Pittman signed, I think just the contracts were going to go up and up. And they clearly did.
yeah.
And the Eagles are definitely a team that is going to throw the bag at someone, especially our next guy, Devonta Smith, signed a 3-year, $75 million deal. So a little bit less than AJ Brown, but still they have him for those 3 years.
But yeah, I mean, as you said, they both signed for 3 years. I mean, they're right now, the Eagles are in like a win-all situation. So it's worth the bag for them considering, you know, AJ Brown's age. I know Devonta Smith will get up there soon, Jalen Hurts, but they're in a win-all situation now, especially with kind of rebuilding their defense with drafting two cornerbacks. I'm sure their defensive line is getting a little bit old, but yeah, they're both up there signing for like $32 million. I think AJ Brown is per year. Obviously as a wide receiver one, as you know, he's a top five player, like wide receiver easily, if not top three, but you know, it's hard to compare him to guys like Chase and Jefferson right now. But he's still very effective. I mean, he's an absolute unit.
Yeah.
Devonta Smith too, he as a wide receiver too, 3 years. I don't know how much is it per year, 30.
For Devonta Smith, it is 25 mil a year.
25 mil a year, but he's still getting 75 M's. I mean, as a wide receiver too, and even though he can be like, he's inconsistent at times, he might have a couple week stretch where he's not getting as many targets due to AJ Brown just going off.
Or them just running the ball.
Exactly. So keeping these guys, both of these guys, is huge for the Eagles. I mean, they both deserve their contracts. Devonta Smith would be a wide receiver one on majority of teams. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the Eagles definitely settled and gave some good contracts, which once again set the tone for other receivers in the market.
Yeah, so next wide receiver is my boy, who was re-signed right around draft day in Detroit. That is Amon-Ra St. Brown, who signed a four-year, $120 million deal. I think it is definitely well-deserved. He was top three in receiving yards last year with a torn oblique. Now, if he didn't have that injury, could he have gone 2,000 yards? Maybe, maybe not. They did have Josh Reynolds, who was their number two wide receiver last year. But, I mean, St. Brown has been showing why he deserves this sort of contract. And again, like I said about the Colts, the Lions have been historically a team that doesn't pay a lot for their players. And they let people walk in free agency. But I think with this new front office, with Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, Sheila Ford-Hamp, those guys, like Chris Spielman, they're going to pay their players. I mean, obviously, you had the Jared Goff extension, you had the Penei Sewell extension, and you have the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension. So,
yeah, and also to add on to that, I think this really set the tone for, like, even though it's $120 million, which is obviously a lot of money to anybody, but over 4 years, you're still looking at $30 million per year. So when you look at someone like AJ Brown's contract, which is 3 years, I think it was like $96 million, which is $32 million per year, it's still less per year for Amon-Ra's contract, but you're still getting that one more year. So really, it's in my opinion, it's worth it to keep someone like that. 4 years, you're getting him all throughout his prime. Obviously, the Lions are another contending team trying to win. So they're trying to keep their players, give them the contracts they deserve. But yeah, I think the 4 years is huge because it's kind of a lengthy contract, but yeah, it's also a bigger contract. Like when you look at 120 M's, but really over 4 years, it's not detrimental to their cap space.
Yeah, I was just about to say it's definitely smarter for the Lions in terms of cap space. Obviously, we all know the situation with the cap space that Cam Sutton had on the Lions, where they lost like 20 mil in cap space, something like that. So having those re-signings, being smarter with the cap space, all signing them to four-year deals with Penei Sewell, Jared Goff, and Amon-Ra, it being less per year, but still a big contract, like you said, is definitely smarter on cap space as well.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into our next receiver, which I believe would be the guy who's held out a little bit, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was questioning what was going to happen with the Cowboys. What's going on with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons? Are they going elsewhere? And the first guy to sign, CeeDee Lamb. I guess after Amon-Ra's contract, CeeDee signed a four-year 136, which puts him just over Amon-Ra's $30 million per year. But I think CeeDee Lamb definitely, once again, top three wide receiver, definitely worth the money. But him holding out, though, and I guess coming back to sign, is a good sign for the Cowboys.
Yeah. I would say it wasn't looking good for the Cowboys, obviously, with the situation with CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, like you said. It was really looking like the Cowboys may be a team that potentially misses the playoffs this next year. And I know you were probably happy about this. There was talks about CeeDee Lamb – potentially going to the Packers in a trade, where they would trade away Christian Watson and a draft pick for CeeDee Lamb. But he signs a four-year, $136 million deal after holding out. Who knows if he would have not gotten a trade and not got this extension, he would still be under contract with the Dallas Cowboys for a year with his previous contract. Would he have played?
Right.
So that's a question that will be answered in a parallel universe where he doesn't re-sign with the Cowboys. But with him holding out and then re-signing, I think it is a good look for the Cowboys, in potentially also getting Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons re-signed.
I think this is an interesting situation because what if the Cowboys don't re-sign Dak? Or what if they give him a one-year deal, right, to rebuild? CeeDee wants to win. He wants to go to a winning team, but now he just locked himself into a four-year deal. So this is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see where his value goes in the future coming years.
Yeah, so our next person, another person that was holding out, is Brandon Ayuk. Now, he signs a four-year, $120 million deal. It was looking kind of scary for the 49ers because you had talks about Brandon Ayuk leaving. You had talks about Deebo Samuel wanting out. They drafted two wide receivers in the draft. So it wasn't looking good for these veteran guys. And Brandon Ayuk didn't really want to play with Brock Purdy anymore. So he signs a four-year, $120 million deal. Now let me ask you this. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the 49ers?
I think, honestly, with everything that's going on there, I think it's a bust. I think, you know, things like this just don't go away. Like, you know, holding out, not giving the player what he wants, not negotiating, coming to terms, even though he came to sign a contract that was there in August, or like early August, I think it was. I think things like this just don't go away. I mean, I do think Brandon Ayuk will still be very effective and put up numbers, and Deebo will, you know, get a lot of touchdowns. I just don't think the team will come together and still have like that chemistry or like that vibe, you could say, for them to make like a playoff run, Super Bowl run, I should say.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree. I think with players holding out, I mean, you look at last year with Chris Jones for the Chiefs. He held out for, I think, 2-3 weeks into the season, actually, where he didn't play. So if it would have been continuing with Brandon Ayuk, he was constantly asking for a trade, Hey, can I have more money? Can I have a trade?
Like,
it doesn't look good for the 49ers.
Yeah, and I don't think this is the same Niners team as we saw last year. I don't think it's the same Niners team at all. I think they lost a lot in free agency, and especially them drafting a wide receiver round one is pretty telling. In round two, you're right. It's pretty telling to their players, you know, what they're trying to do in the future coming years. I mean, yes, Brandon Ayuk got a four-year deal, but what does this mean for Deebo? You know,
his contract's up this next year.
Exactly. And Brock Purdy too. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. They could fold.
Yeah. I mean, they're the type of team that I think it could easily affect them. But I do think that they're still going to have a decent regular season. I just think once it comes down to playoff time, like Deebo is going to be like, all right, like my contract's up in a couple weeks.
Like if they lose in playoffs, like round one or something, it's going straight.
I think Deebo is out at that point. And yeah, I mean, even Christian McCaffrey, his contract's up next year.
Yeah.
So what does that say for that aspect when that comes time to sign Christian McCaffrey again? But now we go into a player that still has not re-signed a contract and is still holding out, potentially one of the better wide receivers in the NFL and going into the future, Justin Jefferson.
Oh, Justin Jefferson signed.
Did he? Oh yeah.
Yeah, June. Yeah. He got the 140. He's at 35 M's a year. Yeah, he's the most paid, I think, wide receiver right now.
I thought he still didn't sign. My bad.
That's Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, Justin Jefferson. Yeah, so he signed a 140. I think what was it, over four?
4 year, 140.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, pretty typical Justin Jefferson. Debatable if he's the best wide receiver in the league right now, with him and Chase. I mean, comparing him to CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, I mean, you can see where the wide receiver market's going. It's just going up and up and up. So did we expect it? Yes. It was coming.
Yeah. I mean, obviously last year, Minnesota, have you seen the documentary Receiver
on Netflix? I have not, no. I got to watch it.
So I'll give a little spoiler. He was very frustrated with the Viking situation. Obviously, Kirk Cousins goes down with an injury. You have Nick Mullins. You have like four different quarterbacks play for the Vikings.
Jared Hall, yeah.
So, and then obviously you go into Nick Mullins throwing – 8 interceptions against the Lions over 2 games. Four of them were targets to Justin Jefferson. Just underthrown, overthrown. He was very frustrated. So I was thinking he's not going to resign. This entire time I thought he's going to go to a different team, a team that can actually make a run for the playoffs.
Yeah,
because the Vikings, they were there 2 years ago, right? Winners of the NFC North. Now I think they're in a rebuilding phase. They drafted J.J. McCarthy. He's out for the season. So I think the Vikings are in an interesting situation. I don't think it's the same type of situation as the 49ers, where they have big players coming up with contracts. I think it's a situation of you need to keep these players and you just need to keep building around them to potentially being a winning program in the next 2-3 years, maybe 5 years.
This was kind of surprising too, because the Vikings are a team that usually lets their players go. I mean, they don't really re-sign big contracts. So this was one of the first ones, you know, that I'm like, wow. They finally did something good, I guess, for their organization. I mean, they care a little bit. Justin Jefferson, I mean, can't just let him walk, right? Because I'm sure he'll come back and beat you. But yeah, no, it was a good signing for the Vikings. But as you said, it's the quarterback situation there. It's not great. I mean, the situation right now is, I guess we'll see in the next coming years, because they're in a really interesting spot.
Yeah, they're starting Sam Darnold week one. I never Sam thought Darnold, I would Justin say Jefferson. The day. Where I say the Vikings are starting Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But now kind of going into what I mistakenly thought was a signing versus a non-signing is Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Ja'Marr Chase wants a record-setting contract.
Dude.
A contract that has never been signed ever. He wants 45 mil more a year than Justin Jefferson.
So we're talking $80 million per year.
Yes.
Sorry, bro. That's not happening. That's not happening.
That's insane. I think with the Bengals specifically, let's talk about that situation for a little bit. You have Joe Burrow, who was coming off an injury.
Still injury prone, yeah.
Yeah, he's been technically injured for the past 3 years. Let's face the facts.
Yeah.
And then you have Ja'Marr Chase asking for a record-setting contract. Where does that leave the Bengals in the next 2 years?
I mean, a receiver can't play defense. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you this is what I don't understand. This is why, like, the same thing with baseball and like Shohei Ohtani, right? Yeah, he's getting 700 M's, but it's like he's injured. He can't pitch now. I mean, yeah, his bat is great, but it's like he can't pitch. And that's what you're paying the guy to do. So it's like if Ja'Marr Chase goes down, you're paying him $80 million to sit on the bench to go to PT. Like, what? It makes no sense.
I mean, it there's talks about them potentially getting a deal done this week.
I'm sure.
But what
It's
that will look like with, because Ja'Marr Chase is a type of player that deserves to be on a winning program, right? He is one of those top receivers when healthy. Let's put that asterisk on there. When healthy, is he better than some of these players in CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, and Amon-Ra?
In some aspects, yes. Some aspects, no. I mean, him and like Justin Jefferson are on like a whole nother tier compared to like AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. I mean, it's just, but as a team, the reason why like AJ Brown and Devonta Smith are still getting those contracts is because of the team aspect. They're a full team. The Bengals don't have a full team. I mean, you can't put your eggs in one basket. You know what I mean?
I mean, you talk about like a wide receiver can't play defense. You look at the Bengals defense. They just lost DJ Reader, who was their lead tackler for the past 4 years. They lose,
Lost a cornerback. I know they lost a cornerback. I forgot his name
and a
though.
linebacker. I forget his name too. But they're losing these key parts to their defense. And you're talking about potentially paying $80 million a year to Ja'Marr Chase, who is another injury prone player, while on top of that, having the highest paid quarterback in the NFL in Joe Burrow.
So my question to you is, realistically, do we think it's over under 40 M's?
For Jamar per year, I think a little over.
I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna say Justin Jefferson's 35 right now. I think this is gonna be like another 4 year deal. It'll be like 38 like million dollars per year.
I'm thinking like maybe 42.
If it's over, if it's 40, it's going to be 42. But even the wide receiver market hitting 40 M's per year is insane. You know, like Tua's contract is 52 million per year. That's only $12 million short of a quarterback's deal right now,
I
which is
mean,
insane.
you look at quarterback contracts like Jordan Love just signed. You have Jared Goff. These guys are making $55 million a year. So it's like,
These receivers are catching up.
And what does that say for the salary cap? The
Right.
salary cap, yes, has been going up slightly per year, but you look at football versus baseball. You made the comparison. Baseball doesn't have a salary cap. So you can have these God squads like
Dodgers.
the Yankees, the Dodgers, who are paying players like $70 million a year, $80 million a year. When you have football, realistically, you only have $260 million a year at your fingertips, giving a number that's probably not correct. But you have a salary cap. What does that say for the wide receiver market going up? Does that say maybe a tight end market goes down, offensive lineman market goes down? Defense market goes down. What does that say for other position markets?
Yeah, no, that's actually I was looking at the NFL salary cap. It's actually 255, so you're not too far off.
Yeah, I said like 256 or 260.
No, that actually brings up a really good point because, as you said, like, what does this mean for other areas? you know, other positions, which obviously the running back market right now has gone down like crazy. They're not getting paid that much.
It's probably going to be going up here soon, to be fair.
Potentially. I mean, to be honest, though, there isn't really that many running backs that I'm like, whoa, they deserve like 20 M's a year. You know, it's
Jahmyr Gibbs.
But I mean, like, a lot of these offenses now, you got mobile quarterbacks, you know, you just want fast receivers, which is where the trend's going, like young, athletic. So yeah. I think it'll be really interesting in the future years where these other contracts, what they turn out to be, like these quarterbacks or even receivers. But yeah.
Now, off of the wide receiver market, we are going to preview the game that is happening this Thursday, the NFL opener. I'm excited. Mike, are you excited?
I'm super pumped, dude.
To finally start the NFL season again. We've been missing it for months, but it is a rematch of the AFC title game. The Ravens versus the Chiefs. Now let's talk about what is probably the most dangerous read option game in the NFL right now with the Baltimore Ravens. You have quarterback Lamar Jackson and you have running back Derrick Henry.
Oh man, that new addition. I mean, that'll be interesting though, because as we all know, Lamar, mobile quarterback, how much will they actually run the ball like that to Derrick Henry? I wonder like, where they will use him and how they will use him. But I'm more so looking at Zay Flowers. The reason why, because Zay Flowers, I had him on my fantasy team, didn't really think much of him, but then he started to like really get targets and receptions and touchdowns. So I'm looking for him as a year two guy to really step up. And because Rashad Bateman, I mean, he was supposed to be that guy.
Yeah.
Realistically, he hasn't been that guy. And I think Zay Flowers is a very interesting candidate for the Ravens to really like be like that wide receiver one. Who else is over there? There's Rashad Bateman, Flowers.
You have, I mean, on defense, you have Roquan Smith.
They lost Patrick Queen.
Yeah, they lost Patrick Queen.
But you know, this game, the Ravens Chiefs, I don't think it'll be like an offensive shootout. I think it'll be a defensive game because I think the Ravens, they do have a solid defense. The Chiefs, even though they lost Legarius Sneed, I think they still have a contending defense, which will hold them. And obviously you have Patrick Mahomes on offense. So that guy will give you touchdowns out of nowhere. But yeah, I think this will be a defensive game, kind of low scoring, maybe 40 total between the two. I think it'll be a really good game though. I'm super pumped for it.
Yeah, I think with the Chiefs, they add Hollywood Brown, get rid of Kadarius Toney, which that guy was a bust and a half.
Yeah. Awful.
I think, like you said, it's probably gonna be like whoever can get that big stop on defense is going to win this game. I think It's going to be like I think it's maybe within a field goal type score, maybe like a 24-20. But I think it just depends on whoever gets that first stop, because Ravens, they have a good defense. They had one of the top defenses in the league last year. Chiefs, decent defense. Obviously, like you said, they lose Legarius Sneed, but I do think they still have Trent McDuffie. They still have players like that. You still have playmakers on that defense. And then obviously offense, you have Mark Andrews. We forgot about him. He's on the Ravens still. You have obviously Mahomes on the other side and Kelsey. But I think going to the point of how will the Ravens use Derrick Henry? I do think that they're going to run the ball with him. I don't think they would have signed a player like Derrick Henry if they weren't.
Yeah.
Will he be used in pass block more? I think so. Or like as a lead blocker for Lamar. I do think they're going to use a lot of read option, though. I think just having that pairing back there in Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, they're going to use the read option a lot. So is he going to be the type of running back that you see out of a person like Josh Jacobs or a Aaron Jones, that sort of thing on a team like the Ravens? I think so. I think they're going to use a lot of him. I think it's mostly going to be in read option, though.
Yeah. I think I really want the Ravens to win this game. I cannot lie. I just can't stand the Chiefs anymore. Yeah, I mean, we need a new contender in the AFC here, and the Ravens are that team. They should have been that team last year, but fell short. It's going to come down to Lamar Jackson. I mean, is this guy a winning quarterback? Will he get you over that hump in the playoffs? Will he get you that over that hump in these big leverage games? And this game will be very good because it'll come down to situation play. I mean, yeah. where's a team better than each other in the margins? I mean, getting the third down stops, you know, turnovers. It's all going to come down to crucial moments like that, which I'm super pumped for. This game will be very good, though. I'm super pumped for Thursday night.
Yeah, I think going to the point of we need another AFC contender, I think this is the year that the Ravens need to do it, because obviously you have the Bills, who have been a contender in the AFC, obviously not winning the AFC. But I think the Ravens need to do it this year. I think it's has to be this year. It can't be next year. It has to be this year if you want to have a shot of Lamar Jackson being known as a top quarterback for the Ravens. Because right now, Joe Flacco still has him in terms of being a better quarterback for the Ravens. Obviously, going to that Super Bowl is probably the thing that distinguishes them apart. But I think it has to be this year, because obviously the Bills lose Stephon Diggs. The Bills are now kind of in a rebuilding phase. And I think it has to be the Ravens this year.
I mean, in the AFC, you also have teams like the Texans that are coming up. I would say the whole entire, well, Dolphins, the Jets, maybe, depending on that situation. Yeah, I mean, even the Bills are – I mean, I wouldn't count them out necessarily. However, it is a very competitive AFC, and the Ravens would be the time to do it. But you know what, Nick? I do want to talk about the guy that we haven't talked about on the Chiefs, and that is their draft pick. Xavier Worthy, man.
Yeah.
I'm
super
pumped to see this guy run. I mean, even though the Chiefs got him, it's like, you got to be kidding me. This guy, I mean, the fastest dude. I don't know. Is he faster than Tyreek?
I think he has slightly a faster 40 time.
I mean, this dude, I'm actually excited to see how he plays as a rookie. Will he come out with confidence? Will Patrick Mahomes give him the ball? Because this Ravens defense is not something that, you know, he can't run all over the place, because, you know, it's a good defense with Nate Wiggins they just drafted. It'll be very interesting to see how these rookies match up and how the defenses play. I'm super pumped for that.
Yeah, I think you look at him coming into this year, I think he is going to perform well as a rookie. But in terms of getting those touches and like making sure the ball hits him in stride, because if he has to like turn around, I think that is his weakness. If he has to kind of stop. But I think he is a good draft pick, obviously, probably the fastest player in the NFL right now. Will it be a type of situation where he is getting the ball a lot in motion? Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think they might use a lot of motion plays, do like an end around type thing, or like a jet sweep is what they call it in the NFL. But I think it needs to be a type of situation where they utilize him to spread the field vertically instead of horizontally.
Absolutely.
It has to be Jameson Williams type thing, where you have, for the Lions, for example, You have Amon-Ra doing like those slant routes going towards the middle with Laporta, and you have Jameson running down the field like a go route. It needs to be that sort of situation.
Yeah.
Where Worthy is spreading the field vertically instead of horizontally.
Yeah, no.
You need to have him going deep instead of going into the middle.
Great, great point there. I was, you know, just about to say the Chiefs offense last season was mainly throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage, which is crazy. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I can't remember the number on the top of my head, but a good majority of his yards, passing yards, came from, you know, a little screenplay or a little like throw behind the line of scrimmage. And it was just like a run, screenplay pretty much. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this offense has changed and what they will change this season. If he will throw more than 20 yards, we'll see.
Yeah, I think it needs to be that sort of situation. I think obviously Xavier Worthy can probably catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and get 15, 20 yards. I think he is that type of player. But to beat defenses, you need to have that high-low option, right? You need to have that option where you're throwing it 25 yards down the field versus 15, right? So he needs to spread that field vertically instead of horizontally, like I said. Because you have a player like Travis Kelce and even Hollywood Brown who can be that middle type of catcher. Probably running the high low in that aspect, and then just having Xavier Worthy 25 yards down the field already before Patrick Mahomes can even think of an option. So I think it needs to be that sort of situation for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and one last topic, very quick thing about the Chiefs. I think I'm interested to see how Travis Kelce performs. Obviously, the Mahomes Kelce show, that's all we get, right? But, you know, it's coming down to his time. I mean, will he retire? Will he not?
Yeah.
I think he signed for like another 2 years, right? Was it 1 year or 2 years?
I think so.
I can't remember. I think it was a 2-year deal. But I mean, I'm interested to see how he will perform, like in terms of his capability. 4 year.
Wow, 4 year, 57,250.
I thought he signed for like 1 or 2 years. I thought that was, never mind then. I guess he's there for another 4.
He signed that in 2020. So he has one more year.
Yeah. Okay. So he's basically, this is like the final dance, like the last dance, I think, for him. Even if they win, I think he still retires. I mean, the guy's done it all. I mean, but I think it's, it'll be an interesting game for him and Mahomes, because if, let's say, Xavier Worthy drops a ball, will Mahomes just turn to Kelce and try to make it the Mahomes Kelce show? You know, I don't know. I think Kelce, I don't like wish this upon him, but I think he'll have like a down year compared to like his last year or so, because of just age, teams are getting better. I mean, it's pretty hard to like continue being a top athlete, you know?
Right. And like he's 34 years old. He's definitely up there in terms of an NFL player. Now, do we think there's new stories coming out of him and Taylor Swift not getting along?
That was
a huge story in the NFL last year.
All right. You know,
where
what,
is
Nick?
Taylor Swift?
You know what, Nick? I'll entertain the idea right now. Taylor Swift, does she play an impact? I don't know, man. I really don't, because I can't even watch the football games anymore because I got Taylor Swift on my screen every 2 seconds. He makes a catch. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it plays a factor, but I thought I would just throw that in there because
just poke fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even like I went to a Michigan State game this past week, right? And they were playing Taylor Swift songs, right?
Oh, man.
I was like, what? Are we at a Chiefs game? Like,
dude, those people who like actually think Taylor Swift plays an impact, just facepalm, dude. Facepalm.
Yeah, I don't think it plays a factor, but I thought I would like kind of, we're talking about the Chiefs here.
You got to entertain the idea, of course.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely going to be an interesting year of the NFL in general.
Yeah, dude, I'm super pumped.
I definitely know, like, Mike and I are going to be covering a lot of it, potentially live streams depending on schedules, four games, potentially Packers versus Lions live stream, me being a Lions fan, Mike being a Packers fan. So I'm excited for this year. I think this year is going to be a year to remember in the NFL. I think definitely last year was a year to remember for Lions fans specifically, but I think this year is going to be a year to remember for the entire NFL.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. I mean, all the young talent coming into the NFL, all the teams that have made key additions in free agency. I mean, the contending teams right now, and, you know, who are sleepers, you know, there's so many teams right now that are like, they could do it. They could do it if
I think one team is a kind of a sleeper is obviously the Texans. I think the Texans, they're the real deal now in the AFC.
Oh yeah, no, they are the real deal. But there will be a lot of coverage from Nick and I throughout the season. We know we do have the Packers Eagles back to back Thursday and Friday night. We won't be covering that game this episode.
Do we want to kind of like give a sneak peek of that? It's the first game in Berlin.
I think we got to go. We'll do it in the next episode. We'll come back when we come back with all Sunday games and give our two cents at it. And as a Packers fan, hopefully the Packers can come through. Otherwise, Nick's going to tease me. So,
dude, I heard that they're wearing those ugly uniforms. They can't wear green.
Uniforms. Man, they can't wear green. I don't know what they're wearing, but
it's those brown uniforms with the yellow helmets.
Oh, the back in the day ones, dude. Oh, those are kind of, I mean, they're ugly, but they're cool. They're ugly. Don't get me wrong. They're ugly though. They're ugly.
Yeah. It's because, if you guys don't know, it's because the field that they're playing in Berlin does not allow the color green. And you send two of the green teams to that stadium, in the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Emphasize that. But yeah, guys, I think that'll do it. We talked about the wide receiver market, and we talked about the Ravens-Chiefs game, and Nick and I gave our coverage on what we thought about each topic. And yeah, give it a thumbs up if you like this background. I mean, I kind of like it. I mean, it's a new setting. The reason why we had to pause originally was because it was just a lot going on this past summer for me, transitioning to college, and I'm currently here. So we're back. We're back.
Yeah, I'm excited for this NFL season. So you guys will get to see all the coverage that we do. And yeah, go ahead and follow us on social media. Like the video if you enjoyed. And these episodes are soon to come to Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So wherever you guys find your podcast, we'll probably be there. So.
Yep. And stay tuned to future episodes where we cover Sunday night games, primetime games, Lions versus Packers, NFC, AFC, whatever you guys want. And also our giveaway, Hype was the winner. Yes. So he will be getting his jersey, and yeah,
we'll contact you, and yeah.
All right. See you guys.